WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, Mid-Michigan and beyond? You hear my voice, you hear the music. That's right, we're back. Finally, after a week gone from the studio, Current Sports is back live. My name's Isaac Constance. I'm the regular engineer and co-host of WKAR's Current Sports, filling in for Al Martin as he's on vacation just 2 days longer than I am. Don't worry, though. He'll be back for the first day of football season. But, hey, we got a lot of catching up to do, people. A lot happened while we were gone, not least of all, the Colin Kaepernick decision to sit down during the national anthem. And that's got the nation in a feud. One of the most divisive sports decisions that I can remember in the past decade. Seriously, it's that big of a deal. So we're going to touch on that. No running from that issue. Also, we're going to hit up everything else that happened, such as the Detroit Tigers. Again, 10 games above 500 now. And just one game shy of a wild card spot. I'm also still sick, but not sick enough to make some of the stupidest decisions you'll ever hear in a fantasy football draft. That's right. We're going to talk about my fantasy football draft last night so I can advise you how to act like me. I'm going to be cocky there. I think I've got a great team. How to act like me, how to get a great team, and how to avoid drafting Kirk Cousins 26th overall. Yeah, that actually happened. Also, Kevin Williams, defensive tackle, is starting for MSU. We're going to hit on that as well as the weekend winners from this past week and weekend since we missed it all. So, hey, if you've got any takes on any of those issues, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 throughout the show. I can't wait to get to it. So, hey, let's start off with your current sports quick hit headliners. As many of you now know, 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick led a national conversation by opting not to stand for the Star Spangled Banner this preseason because of his views on the country's treatment of racial minorities. Kaepernick himself is mixed, born to a 19-year-old white mother at the time before being adopted by a white family who raised him in Wisconsin and California. His protest has polarized the country and NFL players, with Drew Brees and Mike Tavares standing on opposite ends of his protest. Lions coach Detroit Lions Jim Caldwell said that he would not try to dissuade players from similarly protesting if they wished, citing that the First Amendment gave them that right. Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh was one of the most vociferous enemies of Kaepernick's protest, saying, quote, "I acknowledge his right to do that. I don't respect the motivation or the action." I've got a lot to say on this issue. Stay tuned in. We'll touch on that throughout the first half hour of the show, and I'm excited to get some good opinions from callers on that as well. Then, head coach Susie Merchant and the Michigan State women's basketball team found out their busy schedule on Monday. The Spartans encounter 14 teams that made either the NCAA tournament or the Women's Invitational Tournament, WNIT, in the past year, including runner-up to UConn, Syracuse, as part of a congested 29-game regular season schedule. Last season, the Spartans completed the regular season 25-9 and were eliminated in the second round of the NCAA tournament. MSU returns two stars with senior guard Tori Jankowska and redshirt junior guard Brandis Agee again slipping on the green and white. The big first change of the year is coming back to a conference schedule format that only 14 teams, all 14 teams I should say, played 18 games in each of the last two seasons. Now that'll be cut down to only 16 games. Overall, Sparty will welcome 15 home games of their 29, beginning with their exhibition against Northwood on November 6th. Michigan State opens the official 2016 and 2017 journey with three straight games in the Breslin. The Spartans' first road game is at Western Michigan on November 18th. Should be fun. Then Ian Kinsler had a burst of energy, finally, and helped the Detroit Tigers win Tuesday night 8-4 against divisional rivals, the Chicago White Sox. But that wasn't the story of the night. Everyone instead turned their eyes to rookie, Jacoby Jones. I'm not talking about the Houston wide receiver of old. I'm talking about the newest member of the Detroit Tigers who was just called up. He had two hits, two RBIs in his major league debut, including a sixth inning double, to give the Tigers a 4-3 lead that would never be broken. "This is simply amazing," Jones said. "I don't know any other words to describe this, just amazing." It sure was. Jones found out Monday night that he was being brought up as the Tigers tried to balance their roster before the 40-man expansion taking place on Thursday. He barely, but did, have time to call his parents and get them up to Comerica Park in time for the game. They came up all the way from Mississippi, my neck of the woods. They had good seats and witnessed him throw an RBI single in the seventh, or rather throw in an RBI single, and Kinsler, who was only .085 batting average, 4-for-47 in his last 13 games, hit a two-run homer in the fifth and conjured up a two-run single in Detroit's four-run sixth inning, helping the Tigers win the game. Bruce Rondon pocketed the win, and the Tigers are now 71-61 on the year. Kevin Williams, the transfer from Nebraska, was an unexpected late option for MSU this summer, but they welcomed his arrival, and now he's being welcomed into the starting lineup. Williams is listed as a starter beside junior nose tackle Malik McDowell on the team's recently released and updated depth chart for Friday's home opener against Furman, as can be seen at 7 p.m. Friday on BTN. Redshirt freshman Raekwon Williams is also listed as the go-to second man behind both McDowell and Williams, with freshman Mike Panasiewicz number three at the position. 10th-year coach Mark D'Antonio did, however, advise readers to show moderation and not read too much into the listed names. He referred to the two Williams, Kevin and Raekwon, as co-starters. Also, on Monday, the Detroit Pistons reportedly agreed to a partially guaranteed contract with undrafted free agent Trey Freeman, according to Michael Scotto of Sheridan Hoops. Freeman, a 6'2", 175-pound combo guard, graduated after four seasons of college hooping, including his last two at Old Dominion. He was the top Conference USA scorer his senior year, averaging 22.1 points on 43% shooting, alongside his 4.2 rebounds and 3 assists a game. A combo guard, Freeman planned to spend his summer tailoring his game and adjusting to the point guard position. However, on the Pistons, he'll most likely have to retake that shooting guard role, as the Pistons, with 17 players on the roster heading into training camp, already signed Ray McCallum this offseason. Fantasy owners, listen up. Be aware, people, educate yourselves. Minnesota Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater will now miss the entire 2016 season after he suffered a dislocated knee and a torn ACL during a non-contact drill on Tuesday's training camp session. Bridgewater rolled back to pass during a drill, planted his hind foot, and immediately dropped to the ground in obvious pain. Trainers rushed to his side and began inflating an air cast as the quarterback appeared to be holding on to his left leg. Several players spiked their helmets and shouted obscenities, while many others simultaneously dropped to a kneel in prayer. Moments later, a siren-blazing ambulance pulled into the team's Winter Park headquarters. That wraps up for your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-9527. But I do believe that's time we start the show.
I'm a black man, and, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he's not black, okay? He cannot understand what I face and what other young black men and black people face, or people of color face, on an every single basis. When you walk in the grocery store, when you walk in, you know, and you might have $2,000 or $3,000 in your pocket, and you go up into a Foot Locker and they're looking at you like you're about to steal something. You know, maybe I don't think he faces those type of things that we face on a daily basis. You know, if he really wants to make change, maybe what he needs to do is maybe, you know, write a check out of that $11 million salary that he's making, and maybe you know, donated toward a cause or something like that for people that are fighting for injustices against people of color. That's how you make change, you know. And I'm not just saying just writing a check, but just sitting against the national anthem, you know, you're offending a lot of people that sacrificed and died, man, basically for the freedoms that we have right now. I'm not saying that he has to be black, but I'm saying, you know, I said his heart is in the right place, but even with what he's doing, he still doesn't understand the injustices that we face as a black man or people of color. That's what I'm saying.
Welcome to WKR's Current Sports. Back from a long hiatus, I am Isaac Constance, regular engineer and co-host, filling in for Al Martin. He's out till Friday, then he returns for the first day of MSU's college football season. We're excited for that. But, you know, a lot transpired while we were out and about. Me in New Orleans, him in the Dominican Republic, and this is our first time on the air. Actually, since last Wednesday, and folks, I feel like shedding a tear. It's been way too long since we've actually had this conversation, and way too much has happened. So, before getting on to the big news, the one that has captivated the nation, much like Ryan Lochte's falsified story did that I was so interested in, I actually want to just catch you guys up. So, obviously, like I said, I went back home to New Orleans, Louisiana, saw my family. It was very nice. Not too humid either. Actually, I heard that some days it was even hotter in mid-Michigan, which I can't believe for a second. But at the same time, that's what it sounds like. And it's actually a nice break for me in both ways. And it's the start of school today. So that's why I came back on this particular day. That's why I'm back with you right now. Not skipping any classes. Don't worry. But, you know, I'm dressed in my Tottenham Hotspur cap, Appel, one of my favorite New Orleans rappers coming up, jersey and all of that. But the school's got a new liveliness, and everybody's trying to meet new people, meet their teachers, get introduced to the first day of class, and it's a great atmosphere around, and it really reminds you that, hey, football, college football is not too far away. So I'm excited for that. I'm really looking forward to it. I have not had my first class yet, but I'll be jetting out of here right after because I do have a class at 3 p.m. in Conrad Hall. Of course, we're here on the campus of Michigan State University in the Communication Arts and Sciences building. It'll be about a 20-minute walk for me, so you'll see me later today. But, you know, obviously, the reason I'm wearing my Tottenham Hotspur cap right now, and I say obviously, you guys really wouldn't know about this since there aren't many too many soccer fans, rather, so I'll keep it pretty brief. But it's transfer deadline day. So over in Europe, especially England, this is the day that everybody waits for. It's just about New Year's Eve where you've got the ball drop right at midnight because at midnight tonight, this is the last time that teams can make trades for the first half of the season all the way until January. So rosters will be set, and fans over there are so passionate. I am a fan of Tottenham Hotspur, like I said, and we've got quite a stingy and miserly GM. I think you call him a president over in England. His name's Daniel Levy, and he always tries to get the cheapest deal possible, and it's so aggravating because we're on the fringe of greatness. We really are on that ledge. You just need the other step to reach it, and this guy's not willing to spend the money. Every single year, we get overspent, outbought by some of the bigger clubs in Europe, even though talent-wise, we're right there just because we've got a great youth system, because we've made smart moves. But you have the feeling that we're just one big piece away. And, you know, like I said, I don't know why I'm complaining about this. We're not going to talk about soccer on the show, but, you know, it's just so frustrating. I'm not sure if you guys know a GM like that. Wait. Back up a second, because I forgot that I am talking to Detroit Tigers fans. And of course, Dave Dombrowski, time and time again, was maybe that one rich move away from sending this team home with the World Series trophy. And many times he decided and opted to go another direction. And maybe that this year is symbolized by Justin Upton. So anyway, if you can relate to that, you're a Tigers fan or you're a Tottenham fan. So you guys know exactly how it is. But anyway, the big news of the day and the voice you heard during the intro over the Beatles music in the background was Rodney Harrison, a former safety for the New England Patriots, one of the hardest hitters ever in the game, you might know him as. You also might know him as a current NBC analyst. That was him actually on a radio show giving his thoughts on the issue. You probably also know him as the guy that David Tyree jumped over for the best play ever in Super Bowl history. So there are a lot of different things to call him. But like you heard him say, he is a black man. And he took exception to Colin Kaepernick. So if you don't know the story by now, you've probably heard it somewhere. Colin Kaepernick elected to sit down during the national anthem instead of stand up. And he did so because he thought that he would not best represent his people's interests. And by that, I mean the African American minority in the United States by standing up. He thought that currently this nation was in such a state of disrepair that was unjust and unfair to stand for something which, in his opinion, represented all of these different issues, which really are not going the way currently that most Americans would like them to go. So Kaepernick made that claim, and he said on multiple occasions that people are dying in the streets and that the people who were the murderers are getting pretty much a paid vacation during that. So that's his opinion. And, you know, this isn't a political talk show, but this is something that has so polarized the nation. And the sports nation is impossible. It's inevitable that we talk about this issue because it has split the role of athletes and activism. Once again, it split the opinion on that. It split the opinion throughout the whole United States. It forced politicians, including Donald Trump, a presidential nominee, to come out and make the statement that he thought that Kaepernick was totally out of line. And Rodney Harrison came out and he didn't necessarily deny the issue that Kaepernick was trying to advance. Actually, far from it. He seconded that. But he disliked Kaepernick's method. And he said this, in case you didn't hear him during our intro or just joining us. I tell you this, I'm a black man. And Colin Kaepernick, he's not black. He cannot understand what I face and what other young black men and black people face, or people of color face, on an everyday single basis. When you walk in a grocery store and you might have $2,000 or $3,000 in your pocket and you go up into a Foot Locker and they're looking at you like you are about to steal something. You know, I don't think he faces those types of things that we face on a daily basis. Now, Kaepernick himself, here's the funny thing. He is black. He identifies as black. He's mixed. His mom was white. She was 19 when she gave birth to him. His dad was black, but he was always out of the picture. And early on in his life, Colin Kaepernick was adopted by an elderly white family who already had two kids, but who suffered from birth defects with the heart, and they wanted to adopt a kid. So they adopted Kaepernick, and apparently they did pretty well. But Kaepernick essentially grew up within the household of more of a white family, you could call it, throughout his life. And that's why there's a lot of backlash coming from different communities right now because they feel like Kaepernick might not have had the quote-unquote black experience. Now, this is a sensitive issue, obviously. But, you know, on Current Sports, Al and I always like to keep it real. We always like to give our honest opinions because we do have the freedom to do so here on the airwaves. So here's the take. It's being from a city like I am, a city like New Orleans, which is about 70% black. I'm probably in the 25% white population. I'm in no way educated enough to speak to what it means to be a black man. Not whatsoever. I'm a white guy. I mean, it's that simple. But, you know, you grow up against a southern prerogative that many white Americans feel, which is the right to kind of look down on black people, things like that, because of trends of the past. And it's so unfortunate. And you also grow up against the black population, get to see a lot of the backlash that comes from that. And the thing is, there is definitely resentment when Colin Kaepernick reached out and said this, that many people said he's not even black. And of course he's mixed. He identifies as black. He is black. But at the same time, many people came back at him. And this is the thing. I'm not sure Colin Kaepernick entirely has had the black experience. And I'm not sure what that is. Like I said, I don't know what that entails. I'm not well educated on that whatsoever. But the thing is, when you look at Colin Kaepernick, many times he was criticized for not actually being quote-unquote black or quote-unquote white, because most people will just presume that he is white. That's the thing. He looks white enough. He's got a bunch of tattoos, which he was criticized for when he entered the NFL, kissing his tattoos. But he grew up in a white family, and he obviously overcame his fair share of obstacles, way more so than most athletes, most any person would ever face or have to overcome. But at the same time, Kaepernick did grow up in a white family. He grew up, I believe, in Wisconsin and California. And he, in many ways, would not share the same experience that Rodney Harrison did tell. And Rodney Harrison since came out and said, he tweeted, "I should not have called Colin Kaepernick's race into question during this morning's radio interview. It was a mistake and I apologize. Last point I want people to know, I never even knew he was mixed." So Rodney Harrison pretty much came out and said, "All right, fine, I do, I guess, sanction Colin Kaepernick to make this type of protest." But at the same time, the same grievances that he aired against Kaepernick, the same troubles and problems that he took with what Kaepernick did because he wasn't quote-unquote black in Rodney Harrison's opinion, those still stand stronger than ever, more redoubtable and tough to break down than ever, because what he said about Kaepernick maybe not being able to understand this protest because he's black, not black rather, those relate to the majority of American society. That's the thing. If you can't be allowed to take your stand on this issue just because of the race you are, that in itself is a problem. So Rodney Harrison's comments in many ways reflect poorly on what the movement's trying to accomplish. It's equality for all. Colin Kaepernick, even if he hasn't had the black experience, and you could debate that for days, but the thing is, this guy was identifying with a group of people, trying to make a change for good, standing up for what he believed in, rather sitting down for what he believed in, and trying to make sure that equality was once again, it was finally reached in this society. Now, and this isn't about whether you're for or against Black Lives Matter movement, for or against Blue Lives Matter movement. It's not what it's about. It's the fact that this recent statement from Rodney Harrison and from many others implies that you have to be black to sympathize with the Black Lives Matter movement, or that you, because you are black, have to sympathize with the Black Lives Matter movement, that you can't go any other way. Why should it matter if he's black or white when he made this stance? This is the thing, is that many people and many of the more intelligent and well-educated voices in this discussion, in my opinion, have time and time again said, who cares about the protest? Who cares if you think he should have stood up for the national anthem? The thing is, that doesn't change a darn thing in the grand scheme of society. What does change something is if we can remedy somehow the issue that he's sitting down for. And Rodney Harrison coming out and saying he's not black, you know, I don't think he faces those types of things that we face on a daily basis, that excludes the majority of society from somehow empathizing with the black community. Kaepernick, whether or not he had the black or white experience, and like I said, probably was more of a white experience, he probably didn't face the same things that Rodney Harrison faced. Who cares? This is a kid trying to rectify all of that right now. He's probably going to be cut. And what I have to commend Kaepernick for is whether or not you agree with the guy, you have to stand up and applaud, because what he did was risk his job, risk his livelihood by doing this. He's on the very edge of this roster. Just the slightest tottering and he's off. And he probably is off now, I'll be honest. But he still had the guts to stand up for what he believed in. And like I said, I don't care if that's Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, a mix of the two. It's good when athletes show activism. And whenever people are saying that athletes maybe should be a little more quiet, or they should be a role model for everybody, or they shouldn't alienate their fan base. Your fan base should partially be determined by what an athlete believes. If it's similar and synonymous to your own goals, motives, and morals, that should determine what an athlete means in your eyes. Because at the end of the day, they're playing a sport. Doesn't matter if they're a good three-point shooter, they're a good deep ball thrower, or if they're a good home run hitter. Doesn't matter about any of that at the end of the day. It's a sport. It matters what's off the field if you think they're making the right change for society. So if you think Kaepernick's doing that, or you think he's totally out of line, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to talk to me and my engineer for the day, Drew Henderson, who I actually now want to call in and just get your take on this issue. Drew, can you remember any sort of issue in the past 10 years even in sports, which has divided the nation so much on a political boundary, not even this in the sports realm, but in politics itself?
Holy cow, you're putting me on the spot here. I had to think about that for a second. I think you made some great points, though, in your monologue. It's hard to judge a person until you've walked in their shoes. What I can say is, I have my wife, she works in IT, which is a heavily dominated male industry. Mm-hmm. And she's told me stories, I just know it wouldn't happen if she was male. I just know it.
Yeah.
And maybe because I grew up in a house, my sister and my mom, my parents got divorced, when I was young. So, I grew up in a single parent household, female dominated. So to me, having, women around, that's a natural thing for me. So to be an African American, I think that the world is different. I mean, I think you're looked at different. I would like to think, I'm not in his head. I would like to think he did not make that decision lightly.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he wasn't frivolous with it, because I do think that's a serious thing. I mean, we have the national anthem because we're here and we can play these sports. We know these. It's capitalism. This is entertainment. It's capitalism on the highest level. I mean, it is about money. And yet we have serious things going on, people fighting for us to be able to do this here, in the nation. So I don't know. I mean, I don't have a concrete opinion one way or the other. I do see both sides of the situation, which is, I know, makes terrible radio. You're supposed to be decisive on radio, which is why I'm not. I'm pinch hitting, if you could say there. So or DH designated hitter. So.
Well, and like I said, I think Kaepernick's hitting a certain chord with the population. And the thing is, when he sat down for the national anthem, you're right, he shouldn't have undertaken that lightly. But I don't think he did. This has brought more attention than actual police shootings.
Did he do this more than once? I mean, has it been more than one?
So it's been, I think it only received attention this past weekend.
Okay.
But the articles I read said that it has been through the entire preseason. But
gotcha.
I can't speak to that, just because the only time I've seen it actually is this past weekend. But
okay.
Colin Kaepernick, he has brought a light to this situation, and it's engendered all sorts of different commentary from around the sporting world. So first off, I want to go to Jim Caldwell, Detroit Lions coach. He said, well, my reaction is what he did is not against the law, Caldwell said. He's a young man that's expressing a feeling that he had. I don't necessarily agree with what he does, but the fact of the matter is he's open to express himself. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion in this country, that's the great thing about this country. And he's right. I mean, listen, because at the beginning of this whole fiasco, everybody was chirping. He doesn't have the right to do that. Well, of course he has the right to do that. Are you kidding me? Just like Donald Sterling had the right to make the incendiary and racist and pejorative comments that he made, Colin Kaepernick certainly has the right to sit down. There's nothing against that. Now, so we've kind of buried that hatchet, thank God. Nobody really is given that sort of spontaneous reaction anymore, which is very illy conceived. But then there starts off being a few more comments, which is that's disrespectful to soldiers. And you heard Rodney Harrison, who I played at the start of this snippet, actually talk about that. And, there's been a pushback that there's a hashtag on Twitter. I encourage you to look it up. It's really, quite intriguing. It's called hashtag Veterans for Kaepernick. Kaepernick spelled K-A-E-P-E-R-N-I-C-K. And, you know, there are those people then who agree with the message, just not the method. And that's like my hometown, Drew Brees, who said, quote, I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree. Not that he wants to speak out on a very important issue. No, he can speak out on about a very important issue. But there's plenty of other ways that you can do that in a peaceful manner that doesn't involve being disrespectful to the American flag. The great thing about this country is that we have freedoms that allow you to speak out openly about any issue. So I'm not commenting on the issue itself, because any person has the right to speak out on any issue they want. Kind of getting redundant, Drew. I'm not sure why I'm reading that part. That's the great thing about this country, about being American. But the American flag is what represents their freedoms. It represents the very freedom that Colin Kaepernick gets the opportunity to exercise by speaking out his opinion in a peaceful manner about that issue. Like, it's an oxymoron that you're sitting down disrespecting that which has given you the freedom to speak out. And I disagree. That's not an oxymoron. That's actually exercising your right. Drew Brees, though, did clean up his statements a little bit. And this is something that overall I'd say I do agree with. On this issue, I agree with his protest. I don't, all caps, agree with his method, all caps. Read the article. I said it three times. That's what Drew Brees said. And here's the thing. Kaepernick's protest was effective, without a doubt. He was sitting down against the national anthem. It was effective. And like I've already addressed, this guy, if he had freckles, red hair, and was as pale as a white wall, he could still protest this the same way. And Rodney Harrison might criticize him for it, but that's because Rodney Harrison was being stupid when he said that. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you identify and feel strongly about an issue, you have that right to speak out. However, saying that the American flag protesting the singing of the national anthem is necessarily characterized by these few incidents, I can see where people take offense to that. I can see where veterans, because of course you see that hashtag coming back, and like I said, this guy has every right to do it. But should he have? In the manner he did, it was effective, like I said. But I do think that it's slightly disrespectful to maybe soldiers who have given their lives to defend the freedoms of this country. I think there are other ways to do it, such as we've seen athletes before come out in all-black shirts. Derrick Rose, LeBron James made headlines when they wore the Eric Gardner tribute shirts that said, I can't breathe. Of course, the famous saying of Eric Gardner right before he was choked to death by police when he was selling Lucy cigarettes. I agree with that form of protest wholeheartedly. I really do. I think that's worth the protest. But saying that the entire American identity is boiled down to these incidents, I do like to think that we're further than that as a country. I really do. I don't think that protesting the whole flag is necessarily protesting police brutality. I think there are different ways to do that. And like I said, Rodney Harrison, when he came out and said his statement, doesn't change the fact that Colin Kaepernick might have not had the black experience just because this guy suddenly found out that he was black. I mean, that's probably the case with everybody. It also doesn't change the fact that he said, if you want to make a difference, donate some of that $11 million contract to the issue itself. That's not changed whatsoever. That holds truer, in my opinion, than ever. That although a protest is great, although a Twitter hashtag is great, it's money that makes the world go round. It's the impoverished who are really being stepped on by the system. And, you know, it's not the really privileged people of any race that are coming out and feeling the same threatening as it is the people in the poor urban communities. And you can see that firsthand. So that's just from a perspective of somebody who's, you know, overlooked this issue, researched it for the entire morning. I think that Colin Kaepernick, yeah, he needs to follow up on this. Put it that way. If he stands up, if he says, this is what the flag represents to me, this is how great of a danger that is, that's fine. But what there is going to be, and I'm going to forewarn you, being from the Southern white, the logical ones who aren't racist, you don't have to be racist not to always stand against Black Lives Matter and more so with Blue Lives Matter. there are definitely ways where you can try to advance society just based on your own views. But from logical people, a lot will say, and you can be logical and entirely support Kaepernick. It goes both ways. It depends on your opinion. It depends on how you back it up. But people are going to bring up that 462 people have died in Chicago this year, 81 last month, the most in 20 years. And that these scattered police brutality incidents, it does not define the nation or the nation's struggles and tribulations. Half of that 462 or that 81 even in a month, that we've still got so much work to do, that police brutality is unfortunately just a small part of this entire issue of violence and the murdering of especially young black youth throughout the U.S. society, that this does not define the country whatsoever. You also had prominent people come out and sort of echo those claims, you know, just throughout the nation, on Twitter, wherever. And no matter what it is, no matter what you believe, I do think this, and then I'll leave you with a couple of quotes from others who can say it much more eloquently than I am. But whether you think that it's police brutality that's the problem, whether Kaepernick should have protested or not, there's obvious stratifications in society still on racial borderlines. And that's what's sad. And whether you think Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, both, like you probably should, the answer is the same. It's you need to educate the society. You need to keep on focusing on the treatment of equal classes, because what's happening right now is the poor get poorer, the rich get richer, and most of the poor in our society are black, most of the rich are white, and thus we're having a few problems. We've actually got a few callers on the issue. We're going to get to them right after the break. Jody, hang on. Camilla, also hang on. I know this is going to be a very important issue to touch on, and I saw Jody's Facebook post earlier. I think it was spot on. But first, I want to play Jim Harbaugh's quote from his press conference, just so you guys know what it is. Then I'm going to go on to ESPN Stan Verrett. First, let's hear from Jim Harbaugh.
I acknowledge his right to do that, but I don't respect the motivation or the action.
Well, and Harbaugh came on after too, saying, "I apologize for misspeaking my true sentiments." He tweeted this. "To clarify, I support Colin's motivation. It's his method of action that I take exception to." And that's fair. He was obviously trying to find the word that would properly elucidate what he was trying to say. No problem there. But Stan Verrett, ESPN's anchor, in my opinion, a black anchor well-tenured in the sporting community who had parents who served in the military, had really an interesting perspective on it, and one that it's hard to have any sort of issue with whatsoever.
Look, I've always stood for the anthem.
Yeah.
Because I believe in the promise of America, what the flag is supposed to symbolize, even though America often falls short of what it's supposed to symbolize. I mean, my dad served in the Army and dealt with discrimination in the Army, came back from his service in World War II, and was not afforded the full rights as a U.S. citizen after his service. So don't talk to me about sacrifice in the military, because he went to, my mom, valedictorian of our high school, couldn't go to college in Louisiana, mainstream universities, because they were segregated. They wouldn't hear about our grades. You can't go because you're black. So, I mean, and there's still problems today, discriminatory lending, housing, hiring, pay, the justice system. I mean, these are real problems. People aren't making this up, and they're trying to find ways to speak out about it. And you're not always going to agree with the method, but let's pay as much attention to the substance as we do to the symbol.
Let's pay as much attention to the substance as we do to the symbol. Can't say it but any better than that, but if you want to give it a crack, call in 517-355-9527. We do have two callers on the line right now that we're going to get to after we hit our first break. Coming out of that, we'll also talk about what's happened with the Tigers in recent news, as well as my fantasy football draft, all right? We're going to pull out the idiots from that, all the people who made stupid picks, as well as the sleepers and the good picks that I got. Then after that, weekend winners. A lot more to the show. Stay tuned in. WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance. I'm filling in for Al Martin. He's back on Friday for the start of MSU's football season. But we're not finished yet with a chat about Colin Kaepernick and his decision to sit down. If you've got any takes on that, call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I really appreciate the patience of our two callers on the line right now. First of all, Camille, we're going to get to you right after this. But Jody from Canada, I've got down first in my notes. Jody, how are you doing today?
Hey, how you doing, man? Isaac, it's good to hear your voice, and it's good to hear that you're taking on a topic that a lot of people, you know, may not have taken on, and, you know, that we can talk about that on WKAR, and, you know, and you and Al are doing a great job replacing the great Earl and Jim and those guys. So that legacy leaves on. I'll, you know, pat you guys on the back. The Colin Kaepernick situation, you know, I think you've read my post on it and my feelings about, you know, first off, every time we keep walking when the national anthem is played at a game, we're disrespecting that flag.
Mm-hmm.
Every time that we don't take our hat off, whether it's a black person, a white person, a little boy, a little kid, you know, and you stand up to listen to the, you know, the national anthem, again, you're disrespecting the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and if you want to go from that perspective. However, you know, what it has become more of an attack on someone who's standing up for us, standing up for a cause or for a reason. The first thing we do as people, or people do, to slap him down and say he's not supporting the country or this and that. No, it's his only vehicle, and it's his largest vehicle to stand up and to voice his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he has a right to do that. It's America. People have a right to bear guns, and I ain't a big fan of that.
Yeah.
But it's America, you know. So, you know, as we look at it all, you know, he, you know, like, again, look at the source or whatever. My man from ESPN said, we don't get ESPN up here, so it's the same. I have to rely on you guys and rely on the news, you know, the computer to get me my information. But he, you know, hey. The big thing about it is that, you know, the young man is it happened game three is when they finally, you know, noticed he wasn't standing, and he still didn't stand for the first two preseason games.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And I've got to say, Jody, on that note, not to pat ourselves on the back or anything, but any radio show or TV show who's not really leading off with this news right now, that's the problem. The problem isn't what you believe. The problem is if you're afraid to talk about, because the only way we'll ever reach a sort of bridge or an accord is if we know each other's opinion on it. I mean, the fact is that no matter whether you agree with Kaepernick or not, more than likely you've got a reason for it. So let it be heard. I mean, somebody's got to call that in, you know, whenever they feel that way, because this is an issue that we need to talk to, one that stretches so far beyond sports. And thank God he did it, because now we do have the freedom to talk about it on a sports show.
Right. You know, it was a vehicle for him to voice his opinion. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all that, what's going on and this and that, because we know what's going on. We all, you know, live in the country or back and forth between Canada and the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, 53 years in the U.S. before I met a Canadian woman.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was, you know, shoot. But all I'm saying is that it's really killed. The biggest thing is that, with the Donald Trump's outburst and some of the things that have happened, and then, you know, what we've really done is we're creating a divide, or a greater divide, I should say, than they've had before, because, you know, once his message, hate this one, hate that one, build up a wall, you know, and all that kind of stuff is out, and some people are actually believing that message, what you're really doing is dividing people even more so.
Yeah.
And once you divide people, you conquer, though, the country's able to be conquered. And I wonder, really, through all this mess, is something bigger going on, you know, as far as, you know, I don't know, banking or some stuff happening worldwide that may really affect the U.S. so that when that happens, what's the first thing we do? We point at the black man points at the white man, and next thing you know, you got chaos.
Hey, there are all sorts of machinations that I've got no idea what's going on. But, Jody, I agree 100%. I think we've got to talk about these issues, and I think it's important that Kaepernick came out. Like I said, I'm with you, too, when you say that whenever you don't take off your hat, whenever you walk, whenever you eat your popcorn, when the national anthem's playing, you are disrespecting in many ways the soldiers, the people that fought for that freedom. At the same time, like I said as well, Kaepernick was effective. People realized it, and now he got us talking much more so than actual murders. Actual killings got us talking, and that's what's important. Thanks for the call, Jody. I really appreciate it. Have a good one yourself. All right, next up, we've got Camilla from Lansing on line two. Camilla, thanks for your patience, and welcome to WKR's Current Sports.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Okay. I was just thinking, every time Isaac lets you run the show, you bring up some pretty good topics. I'll be trying to call in. But, I got a few things. We'll run through them really quickly. But the first thing I want to say is that I've actually caught into this show and actually stated that athletes are not obligated to actually take political stands and things like that.
No, they're not.
I do recall myself saying that. But at the same time, as it relates to Kaepernick here, I just want to lead off by saying that I'm actually a mother, and my daughter actually serves in the United States Army. So I just want to make that clear.
Thank you for your sacrifice, yes.
Yeah. So when I say this, I don't take anything that I'm about to say lightly as it relates to this topic, because that's my only child, and my only child is out defending the flag. Mm-hmm. But what I want to say, because a lot of people say, well, it's disrespectful for the flag. Here's the thing. Our flag flies above our country. Mm-hmm. But if what's going on, the lives that's below that flag does not matter and are not taken seriously, that flag is, you can't say we're disrespecting the flag, but it's okay to murder people in the streets. And so the one thing that I want to say is, regardless of what nationality you are, if you can see people being shot in the streets, like Kaepernick said, just being shot in the streets like dogs, that should affect you no matter what your nationality is. Whether he was biracial, white, Asian, no matter what, he has the right to take that stand as a human being, not necessarily as to what his skin color is. As a human being, he can say this needs to stop because his fellow human beings are being murdered.
Well, and I couldn't agree with that anymore, Camilla. That's why I was more or less saying at the start of the hour, and I'm really happy you brought that up, is that Rodney Harrison, I think it's a very toxic viewpoint when you say, I tell you this, I'm a black man, and Colin Kaepernick, he's not black. Of course, Kaepernick is mixed and identifies as black. You know, I don't think he faces those types of things that we face on a daily basis, whatever. But Harrison was criticizing Kaepernick for taking this stand because he perceived him to not be black, which is a problem. No matter what your race is, you have the right, and your daughter, amongst many other U.S. brave soldiers, fight for a right to think that way and stand up for what we believe in. And, I mean, the fact is, no matter what race you are, you have a right to be entitled to your opinion. And that's what Kaepernick did. And, I mean, you know, there will always be disagreement over whether what he did was disrespectful or not. But the fact is, the man got the word out there.
Right. And that's really what matters, is that we bring light to what is actually happening. And the other thing that I just want to say real quick is that we just spent a week or so ago watching the Olympics. And every single time I watch the Olympics, you know, because I watch it, you know, I love the Olympics, so I watch it, and I watch the ceremonies and things like that. And I noticed a lot of African-Americans represented us in the Olympics.
Yes.
There was a track, you know, Simone Biles. And I'm standing here watching them when, you know, putting their hands on their heart and respecting their flag and standing there with pride. But then when you come back home, I mean, it could happen to one of them tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Or what's happening to their family members. But we're standing here and we're representing this country. And we're representing a country that, I mean, I don't want to say it this way, because not all non-African Americans treat us, you know, bad. But when you have blue lives that don't care anything about black lives, that's a problem. I mean, we're contributing to this country just like any other race. And so I would think that the NFL and the NBA, I mean, places that it is overwhelmingly African-American men, would actually stand up and take the stands themselves and say, no, we can't let this happen. Because the truth of the matter is, even though both of those entities everybody know it's all about the money when it comes to them. I mean, they're killing off really your money because these are future football players and future basketball players. And no, I would never, you know, downgrade my people to just that because we have doctors and lawyers coming out of our communities as well. But for the NFL and the NBA, it would seem to me like they would actually take a stand and say, you know, they would care enough about their players and say, no, this has to stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, so for me, regardless of what nationality Kaepernick is or who raised him, I just want to go on record saying I applaud him and I appreciate and I thank him for exactly what he done. Because all lives should matter to all people, which means the black ones should matter and the blue ones should matter. And this should be happening to nobody. So I want to applaud him for the stance that he taken. That was all I had to say.
It was a beautiful speech. We appreciate it, Kamian. We encourage any other callers with that sort of stance or one that's contrasting and conflicting. Call in 517-355-9527 because, like I stated before, I think the most therapeutic thing right now is for Kaepernick's message to be heard and then get feedback. Just have this dialogue over radio, over interpersonal conversation, whatever it is. That's what we need to do. That's what it was designed to do, hopefully. And I mean, that's the only way that we'll ever reach a good agreement on what we need to do going forward as a country. So, you know, we've got 52 minutes under our belt for the show. So I say we hit our second break, and then we're going to talk about my franchise football, that fantasy football that I just drafted, and I'm really excited to tell you guys about who I've got on my team. So stay tuned. Also, if you've got any more calls on that issue, 517-355-9527. It's an important topic to talk about. Here on WKAR's Current Sports, stay tuned in. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. And we just finished up conversation for the day about Colin Kaepernick sitting down for the national anthem. The first 3 weeks of preseason, and as Jody from Canada pointed out, we thank him for his call. Kaepernick actually sat the first 2 weeks without even being recognized doing so, and then was caught the third week, and he explained why. Then we also had Camilla from Lansing call in, and she gave a fantastic perspective as well. Like I said, I'm a white guy from New Orleans, Louisiana. I don't pretend to know all the answers. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say because the more perspectives, the more voices, the better it's going to be. 517-355-9527. But what I do have all the answers for, to toot my own horn, is fantasy football. And that's what we're going to go to right now. We had a draft last night. Yes, round of applause for me. No. But this was great. So I had the first overall pick in my fantasy football draft. No doubt there. You know, you select the guy who everybody wants. You select Antonio Brown. And, I mean, that was simple enough. Now, what did end up happening is that Antonio Brown wasn't the only good receiver on the board. Throughout the course of the draft, you saw a little bit more happen with my team. And there were a bunch of different people. So I'm pulling up my draft recap right now. First overall pick, I got Antonio Brown. Go through the first round, and it was a solid draft from most of my compadres within the league. You didn't see any Eddie Lacy picks within the first round, which I'm happy to see. But the running back position this year is so up in the air. What I have to advise is be hesitant with who you draft. Ezekiel Elliott's great. He's going to get a bunch of carries. Now, we don't know how good he is at the NFL level, though. We haven't seen him. We haven't. The reason he's going to get so many carries, though, and be a pretty safe pick at the end of the day, is because Tony Romo, and actually my fantasy football name is No Romo, because there is no more Romo for the start of this year, because he's hurt. So they're going to be running the ball a bunch. Draft him. Which brings me to, in my opinion, the first bad pick. I'm sorry, Sahil, to call you out. But the first bad pick of last night's fantasy draft was number 11, Dez Bryant. With the quarterback position in such a flux, and running quarterbacks, especially rookie ones, tending to prefer their tight ends to receiver, I would not draft Dez Bryant for the life of me right now. And he could have a good season. He could. But drafting a quarterback without a set receiver, that's a risky proposition. Yeah. Sad, sad news. Then number 17, we do see Eddie Lacy go. And Eddie Lacy, for me, is a guy who it's a sobering realization that he's not who we thought he was. I mean, you heard the saying before, we are who we thought, they are who we thought they were. I think that's right. But he's not who we thought he was, because we thought he was great, and then we thought he was terrible last year. And you know what? I think he's terrible. And with Jordy Nelson, the number 14 pick of the draft last night, returning, Rodgers is going to be airing it out as much as ever, especially they proved that he could do that same thing without the deepest receiving staff. So, going down the list, we're going to hit up a little more. All right, Alshon Jeffrey drafted 23 overall. That's a steal. That is. It wasn't me, but that's a steal. Go get Alshon Jeffrey. He's going to look quite good this year, especially with Matt Forte no longer receiving some 40 touches a game for that team. Some idiot in my draft. I'm just going to say that. I'm sorry, dude. But Kirk Cousins, 27 overall. Over Russell Wilson, over Aaron Rodgers, over Drew Brees. What? Or not over Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was two picks before Kirk Cousins. Gosh, that's got to be the worst draft pick I've seen since my friend Jordan back in New Orleans drafted Derrick Rose fourth overall after Derrick Rose had torn his ACL, and Jordan was totally unaware of that. So that's pretty bad. Then Gary Barnidge, a veteran player who suddenly is receiving a bunch of extra attention. He faded down the stretch of last year, and he's for Cleveland, another team without a quarterback. Don't get Barnidge. He was drafted too high. Don't go so high on defense and special teams too, or kickers, I beg of you, because it's a crapshoot. Steven Gostkowski is usually one of the best kickers. Steven Hauschka is number two, but Justin Tucker's up there as well. You can draft any three of those and be fine. So once you see the first kicker off the board, a decent pick, go for him. But there's no reason to really stretch your boundaries there. And then defense, special teams. Somebody drafted the Seahawks 38th overall. Don't be an idiot. Don't do that, because that's stupid. I mean, you don't want to draft a defense because we're never sure how defenses wind up. My pick for the best defense of the year is the Cincinnati Bengals. So you're never sure. Like I said, it's a crapshoot. But my team at the end of the day, and I did have to auto-draft two rounds because my internet went out, but I've got Drew Brees, Jonathan Stewart, Latavius Murray of Oakland, Antonio Brown, Allen Robinson, and Brandon Marshall. I've got the deepest receiving staff I've ever had in fantasy football. Jordan Reed at tight end, number two tight end last year. Cardinals defense special teams, Steven Hauschka, just like I told you. Rashad Jennings, John Brown receiver, Torrey Smith, Dak Prescott. Good late pick. I highly recommend going after him. Isaiah Crowell and Chris Hogan. Also, I've got to say, we didn't even get to Tigers today. But other sleepers, I like one of Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. I also like Amari Cooper and Derrick Henry, because no longer do I trust in DeMarco Murray whatsoever. But hey, folks, 25 seconds left, so that wraps it up for the show today. We appreciate everybody for tuning in, especially the callers. Jody from Canada and Camilla from Lansing, they were fantastic. Also, thanks to Drew Henderson for engineering on specially short notice. I'm Isaac Constant, filling in for Al Martin on WKR AM 870. Tune in tomorrow as well to hear an even better show. See ya.